Good morning and happy Easter. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
It's my great joy to welcome all of you from Essex and from Morrisville and from sites beyond to this Easter morning celebration. My name is Barb Lemmel and I'm the interim pastor at the United Community Church in Morrisville, and I'm joined by Mitchell Hay, the pastor at the Essex Center United Methodist Church. And again, welcome and happy Easter, and Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Special thanks to our readers, to our musicians from both churches, and also to Jeremy LeClaire, as always, who serves as our tech guru and makes all of this possible. And I want to invite you, if you so desire, during this live stream, you can share it to your personal page. If you want other people to be able to see it, that would be fine. And during the service, if there are prayer requests that you would like to have lifted up in the pastoral prayer, please send them as a comment to our Facebook page. And Mitch and I will both receive those and we'll be able to lift those up in prayer later on in the service.
We welcome you to worship. If you have been able to download or are looking at your laptop now and have a copy of the bulletin, you can follow along with our responsive call to worship in the bulletin, which we are sharing this morning with the Williston Federated Church. And it's about doing Easter in the midst of COVID. We are still isolated, still feeling like we have been left alone in a shadowed place. But this is the day.
Hope tiptoes us awake. Light guides us through the shadows.
We are keeping a safe distance from others and are quarantining ourselves. We are not gathering physically as God's people. But this is the day the Lord
plants joy in our winter hearts, drowns out despair's cries with laughter.
This is a time of uncertainty and fear. We wonder what today will bring. We worry about the coming tomorrow. But this is the day the Lord has made.
The day grace does cartwheels in graveyards. Resurrection wonder outshines the brightest sun. An empty tomb fills us with the good news. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
And this morning we have to share with you a version of Christ the Lord is risen today that the United Methodist Church put together. It's a virtual choir of folk from all over the world singing that hymn, and the lyrics are underneath the pictures. So enjoy, and if you wish to sing along from home, go right ahead.
See you.
And our opening to God time, to open ourselves to the presence of the Spirit on this Resurrection Day, comes to us from the New Kilpatrick Parish Church in Scotland. And it is a juxtaposition of the words of the Apostles' Creed with a newer reflection of what it might mean today. So we'll do that back and forth. And I welcome you to be in a place of prayer as we do this opening to God time.
I believe.
I awaken to.
In Jesus Christ.
The one who walked our earth and whose God light shone through.
God's only Son.
The one whose life came from the very life of God, our Lord, our guide, our teacher, our friend.
Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Whose life was an intent of God's creative imagination.
Born of the Virgin Mary.
Who sang love's song at his beginning and was blessed.
Suffered under Pontius Pilate.
Rejected by the powers of the world.
Was crucified.
Executed by those same powers.
Died.
Sharing the same death as us all.
And was buried.
Love had been killed.
He descended into hell.
And they thought this was the end.
But on the third day,
nothing could contain, bind, or hold the life Jesus began.
He rose again.
And the story continues. The story of renewal, transformation, and life again.
I believe in.
I awaken to.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. So we have a reading of the psalm this morning from Reeve Russell.
Psalm 118, verse 14 and 22 through 24. The Lord is my strength and my might. God has become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Our gospel lesson today comes from Matthew 28, and it's read by Liz Rochefort.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter. A reading for the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord, descending from heaven, came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you.'" So they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell the disciples to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Thank you, Liz. So obviously, all four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they all tell the story of Easter, but only Matthew tells the story of exactly what happened on that morning, or a story of what happened on the morning that morning. The other three Gospels have the women or the disciples or someone coming to the empty tomb and Jesus' body not being there. But Matthew is the one that talks about what happened, that there was an earthquake, and then an angel came and rolled away the stone. And this is my favorite detail, rolled away the stone and sat on it. It's almost like the angel rolled the stone away and sat on it and said, so there, I'm here. This stone's not going anywhere. And I wonder if that angel was Gabriel, if that angel was the same angel that had gone to Mary 33 years before to tell her that she was going to have this baby Jesus. And if in sitting down on that stone, he sits down and says, I was here at the beginning and I'm still here. So there. I've never been in an earthquake per se. I've only been in some earth tremors. The image of an earthquake in this gospel piece is really moving to me. And when I think of the difference between the two, I think of an earth tremor as being something that shakes and gets our attention, but after the end of it, everything kind of goes back to the way it used to be. An earthquake is something that shakes and gets our attention and changes things forever. After an earthquake, things are not the same the way they were before.
The last tremor that I was in was when we lived in Montpelier, and I started feeling the house shake, whoomp, 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 whoomp. And I thought that it was the washing machine in the basement with an off-balance load. So I run downstairs, the washing machine's not doing anything. And I suddenly realized, wow, it's a tremor. And it was done. It was over with. I'd completely missed it. Things got shaken up, but nothing changed. That's what a tremor is.
And then I think there are some tremors in our lives that start out as tremors, and then they get bigger and bigger, and they end up being earthquakes. Hmm. So I remember the first time I saw you walking across a classroom at Boston University School of Theology in a shark skin jacket and a white fedora. And I thought, oh, that looks like a really interesting person to get to know. At the time, it was a tremor. I was meeting lots of new friends. What I didn't know was that it was going to turn into an earthquake that would shape the whole rest of my life from then on out. And what I love about that image is that sometimes earthquakes can be for good. They shake everything up and it never goes back to the way it was before, but they're not bad necessarily. Sometimes they can be positive.
Sometimes an earthquake in our lives can begin as horrific, and then we can find transformation in the midst of that as well. Your traumatic brain injury a decade and a half ago is a defining moment in our lives, and it was horrific and devastating and awful. It was an earthquake that shook things and broke stuff, including you, including all of our family. And yet, over the years, there have been transformations, life transformations that have come out of that, that are good. Growth, grace, love, deepenings that were not there before. So there, an earthquake, as horrific as it was, had good transformations come out of it.
Yeah, and I remember in the midst of that, maybe 6 months after the head injury, visiting my spiritual director, who said to me, do you think you could see this head injury as something that's good? And my immediate response to her was, no, no, I can't. Because it was too soon. Two or three years later, if she'd asked me that same question, I would have been able to say grudgingly, yeah. And now 15 years later, I can absolutely say yes. But sometimes the being shaken up is so disconcerting. It takes a long time to see the good. And I know that all of you who are watching this, who are listening to this, all of you have had your own earthquakes in your life. Sometimes they've been good earthquakes. I know that some of you are folks who've who are currently in recovery from an addiction of one kind or another. And that is a kind of life earthquake. And yet it's a good earthquake. It opens your life to new things and new possibilities. I also know that there are other earthquakes that have happened in your lives, that there's been illness, there's been accidents, there's been violence, there's been trauma, there's been lost jobs, there's been lost loved ones. Those too are earthquakes.
And now in the time of COVID, we are all now in the middle of an earthquake in so many ways. It's an epidemiological earthquake, a sociological earthquake, an economic earthquake, all those multi-syllabic adjectives that go in front of earthquake. We're in the midst of it. The ground is shifting and shaking underneath it. People we know and people we love are sick and dying and isolated and lonely and stuck, and structures that we trusted in for years are collapsing around us. Earthquakes change us. There is no going back. There is no going back to pre-COVID. There's no going back to pre-traumatic brain injury. It's like the angel sitting on that stone after the earthquake moved the stone, and the angel sits on top of it and goes, boom, we are here now. We are in resurrection time. There is no going back. We're going to have to learn how to deal with resurrection. We're going to have to learn how to deal with life after the earthquake. And the angel gives a somewhat unreasonable order to the women at the tomb. Do not be afraid, or as I like it in the King James, fear not. Hello? The women are afraid. He's a terrible pastoral counselor, but a good angel. They're afraid, but they have joy too. There's a seed of good news there. And when Jesus sees the women, he says the same thing. Fear not. They have fear. But there's also good news. Jesus is alive. And that's the biggest earthquake in history. They don't know what it means then. I'm not sure we always know what it means now, that Jesus is alive, and that is history's great earthquake. Nothing's ever the same again.
Earthquakes shake us up, even the good ones. We lose our bearings. It's hard for us to find our balance again afterwards. And if that's true, even with good earthquakes, it's doubly so with bad earthquakes, with earthquakes that are bad news. Sometimes we get buried in the rubble. Sometimes we get stuck in the tomb. We're not sure how to get out. Sometimes Holy Saturday lasts for a long time. Some people live there for years. Maybe you're living there right now, and in a way, our entire society is living in a Holy Saturday right now. I too work as a spiritual director, and people come to me, and together we look at what God's up to in the lives, where God is leading them, what their next faithful steps are. And sometimes they come with some hard stories, some tales of things that have happened to them or that they've done or not done, and they're not always pretty. And after I've listened to those stories, often I'll say, what do you suppose God's up to here? And often they just look at me as if to say, were you listening to what I just said? And I was listening. And the reason I can ask that is because I know something about God because of Easter. I don't deny that there's Good Friday and Holy Saturday. I don't deny that things don't go the way we mean them to be. And I know how it comes out. I know it comes out with an earthquake resurrection at the tomb. Because if God can come back with life after we've killed Jesus, God can redeem anything. I don't mean God makes it go away. I don't mean God magically fixes it. I don't mean that it didn't happen. What I mean is that God redeems it. God makes all things work together for good. We often have absolutely no idea how God's going to do that. And Easter tells us it doesn't matter whether we know it or not. It's God's nature to make good come out of all things.
I don't know your story. I don't know what your earthquakes are right now. I don't know what tomb it is that you're standing in front of or you're inside, how hard things are, how much you've lost, how long you've been in the tomb. I do know that in these strange COVID times, we are all of us rattled and shaking and making the best of it, of different parts of it. For those of us who are pastors, as we've seen for the last 5 weeks, we're all making up how it is we're supposed to do this job as we go along. How do you worship far away from the people you love? How do you care for folk that you can't see or touch except once in a while on a little tiny postage stamp size screen when you Zoom? It's a strange, strange time for all of us, whether we're pastors or doctors or nurses or working at Price Chopper or at home feeling really alone or everything else in between. Back when Barb and I were in seminary, there was a very fancy term about how it is that people who are hurting have a special way of reading scripture that may be more accurate than when we're comfortable. The fancy word is the epistemological privilege of the poor. There will not be a quiz on that. But having the epistemological privilege of the poor is something that's pretty rare for me. I'm a comfortable, white, male, cisgendered, heterosexual, college-educated, middle-aged guy. I can get through life thinking I'm in control most of the time, but COVID is an earthquake that has let me know that I'm not. And perhaps this time of COVID has given me a little bit of an inkling into a better way to read scripture, to read the story of the women who know what it is to be powerless, who know what it is to be under the boot of systems of oppression, who know what it is not to be in charge. They come from a place of vulnerability, and that's a place I'm not used to being. But the thing about reading scripture and coming to God from a place of vulnerability is that's where we're open to change. Vulnerability is a place where God goes, I can work with that. I can make change come from that. Easter in quarantine is a lot like that first Easter. It's disorienting. It's disorganizing, it's diseased, it's discombobulated, it's disconcerting. And all of our plans that we had even a month and a half ago for the perfect Easter, our plans for the Easter egg hunt and a meaningful and triumphant Easter worship service, and all the plans we had a few weeks ago are gone in an earthquake. But we're vulnerable. And that means we're open to God doing something amazing.
So hear this Easter message, people. Whatever your life, wherever you live, whatever your circumstances, Easter says that God has a place for you in the world, and the tomb's not it. God has a place for each one of us in the world, and the tomb's not it. Remember what we said a couple of weeks ago? This is how you can tell if God's done with you yet. Are you breathing? Easter says, if you're breathing, you're alive. If you're alive, God can work with you. And if you're feeling a little shaken up and like you've lost your bearings, then maybe that's the place even more that God can get in and can do some work, that the Holy Spirit can shape you into a more godly place, a more godly way of being. I don't know the specifics of your life. To be honest, I think I don't know the specifics of my life beyond a couple of hours from now. What I do know is that one way or the other, God is always seeking to roll away the stone that's in front of the tombs of our lives. And once God's rolled away that stone, God sits on it and says, "So there." Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Amen.
Amen. We have some music now that's been recorded by Sean Boer in the Morrisville Church. And so we invite you to enjoy that. And again, if you have any prayer concerns, please feel free to send them in to us. Together in our pastoral prayer this morning, I'm going to confess to you that due to my own technological difficulties, I've not pulled up prayer requests here, but I will try that again. As we begin, though, I'm going to start by leading us in a pastoral prayer, and then Mitch will share some prayer concerns from Essex, and then I'll share some from Morrisville, and then all together we'll join together in the Lord's Prayer. So join your spirits with me as we come together in prayer this morning. God, in the beginning you said, "Let there be light." And your light entered the darkness and changed it forever. The darkness is still dark, but it's full of light. And the darkness can never limit your light. And now on this Easter Sunday, God, you have said, "Let there be life." And your life has entered death and changed it forever. Death is still death, but it's full of your life. And death cannot limit your life. And so Christ has died and has entered into our death and changed it forever. Christ is risen, risen into us, and we are changed to get forever. We are the body of Christ. We are still ourselves, but we're full of you, O Christ, and our self cannot limit you in us. Christ, you are risen, and we are risen indeed, and in that faith, we share these prayers with you.
I'm looking at our comments on the service. I'm not seeing any prayer concerns listed. We have a quite a time lag, and that may make things a little funny. Comments on the service. Go ahead. There are some from the Morrisville Church.
So from Stacy Wiley Jones, we have prayer requests for her mom, Janet Wiley, who's having some serious health issues. We have prayers for Madeline Hooper's family. She passed away yesterday at the age of 98. I also want to lift up prayers for Dot and Larry Bliss as Dot continues to struggle with health issues. And I want to lift up prayers for Christine Hallquist, who has tested positive for COVID-19. Christine is in Syracuse with her mom and her sister and is on the far side now of this illness and says that she is thankful for all the support that she's received. And she wants to lift up in prayer all of those folks who are struggling with this illness and who don't have the support that they need. And so, God, we lift to you all of these people and all the other folks as well whose names we do not have before us right now. We lift up all those folks who are on the front lines of fighting COVID. We lift up all those folks who are on the front lines of fighting any number of other evils in this world, poverty and illness and oppression and disaster. We lift up to you those who are sick, those who've died, their families. We lift up to you all those who suffer in whatever way in this day, that on this Easter Sunday, we might all know your grace. And on this day especially, we lift to you the prayers that Jesus taught to us. Our Father, who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
We do have a prayer of thanksgiving from Sally Jablonski, giving thanks at Dorothy Ba, who is an amazing nurse at Birchwood Nursing Home, tested negative for COVID. She's been there for 2 weeks living at Birchwood, working with the vulnerable people there, and she's spending Easter at home with her family. I hope you are able to be watching. Liz writes, prayers that all find a way to rejoice today, even in the face of all this uncertainty and discomfort. Normally, the benediction in the worship service is sent to this crowd of people who are safe inside a building and being sent out into the world to do good. And because of the earthquake that is COVID, we're sending a benediction out to those of you who are called to socially distance and to quarantine and to voluntarily stay home. But it's still a benediction. It is still a good word. The good word is that in the midst of the earthquakes of our lives, there is an angel on top of that earthquake stone saying, so there, it's new life. Death is not the last word. It is love, it is life, it is resurrection. So there, don't go, be where you are, shelter in place, but doing, knowing that you are given new life and you're called to live in love. The love of the God who is creator and redeemer and sustainer now and forever. Amen. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. And I invite you to stay on. We're going to have some more organ music from the Essex Church to close out our service.
From Catherine and June. Thank you.
Easter blessings, y'all.
Peace.